So I finally got up. So then it was bad yesterday morning when I got up. I couldn't walk, but I am walking better today. So then I decided yesterday to clean my office, and I tripped and fell again. Fell again over something and landed into the desk. So I got a big bruise here. And then my third little piggy, I almost broke the toenail off. But you know, through it all, I found out that God is still good. And if we didn't go through things in life, we wouldn't know we'd be growing in the Lord. Amen. And how the Word is changing us. Praise the Lord. So let's stand this morning. I want to read you the whole chapter of Romans chapter 8, and it's called, from the Message Bible, and it's called The Solution is Life on God's Terms. Isn't that good? The solution to life on God's terms. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a faded life of brutal trinity at the hands of sin and death. God went for the juggler when he sent his son. He did deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code weakened, as it always was, by fraction human nature, could never done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of deep healing it. And now when the law code was for, now what the law code asked for, we couldn't deliver is accomplished. As we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Amen. Remember what I talked about a while ago? You know, the things that we go through in life is actually just practicing what the Word is, or what the Word says that we can overcome. Amen. So those who think they can do it their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing. God's obsession with self in these matters is dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God. Ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing. God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking of yourself anymore. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who have welcomed him, whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves in your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus. Wow. Bringing you alive to himself. When God lives, moves, and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With the Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive in Christ. Wow. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. So the best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. Woo! Wow, does that excite anybody today? The best thing you do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. In other words, quit dwelling on your past. Amen. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not timid, grave-tending life. It's a venturously expectant, greeting God with childlike. What's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the good and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation has been more or less held back. God reigns it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and bare bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired of the waiting, God's Spirit is right along there helping us. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying for us and in us, making prayer out of the wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. Wow. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands firm first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original intended shape of life there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. Wow, your relationship with Jesus is established. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, glorious, completing what he had begun. God is busy at work completing what he has started in you. Amen? So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition, exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Wow. Jesus has got your back. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and God's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, hunger, homelessness, bullying, threats, backstabbing. Not even the worst sins listed in the scripture can drive God's love for us. They kill us cold blood because they hate us. We're sitting ducks. They may pick us off one by one. But none of this fazes us. Why? Because of Jesus' love for us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing lived or dead, angelic or demonic, today, tomorrow, high, low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can separate us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. And as I said before, once you get a revelation of God's love for you, it will change your life. Because at that moment, it doesn't matter what happens in our life, no matter what report we get, we're going to choose to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. The report of the Lord says that you're healed. The report of the Lord says that you're free. The report of the Lord says that you're prosperous. The report of the Lord says, I will bless you. Continue to follow me. I have got your back. And whatever may be coming against you is nothing compared for as my love that I have for you. Amen.
Praise God. And that is the message that everybody needs to hear. You know, I see it on people's faces. You know, they're going around like, you know, they used to do that gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression and something. If it weren't for bad luck, I mean, glory to God, they live that way. But we don't. Lord, send a revival. Revive the Christians. Revive them to the point that the fire's back underneath them, Father God. Glory to God. I hear the voice of one crying. I hear the voice of one crying. Prepare ye, come and prepare. the Spirit was moving before God began his creation. And the Word is brooding. What's he getting ready to do? Glory to God. He's getting ready to create. God's getting ready to create. Now, what do you need? What do you need? He's getting ready to create. It may not be ready yet, but there's a time for it. And it's coming because he's brooding. That doesn't mean he's whining and complaining, church. He's getting ready to do creative things. Glory to God. Do that second verse again.
From the preacher preaching when the well is dry, to the lost soul reaching for a higher high, from the young man working through his hopes and walking through a veil of tears, every man and woman, every old and young, every father's daughter, every mother's son. I feel that Spirit, feel it in my bones. You're gonna send revival, bring them all back.
Thank you. Hallelujah. While Bob gets set up for this next song, the scripture this morning was just awesome. And God's really put this service together. I'm so excited. But this is what it says about worship and about praise. Talk about joy. And, you know, we need to get back the time we have fun. The church is, I don't know why we go through seasons, and then we go through seasons of this, and then we got to go through seasons of this. We need to get back to season of having fun in church.
That's right.
We used to get those songs, and we'd sing those songs. The Spirit of the Lord is in my heart. I will dance like David. And we would just dance all around, and we would clap, and we would shout, and we'd get to walking around. And, we had fun, and the children had fun, and they saw Mom and Dad having fun. Glory to God, I didn't even say all that. This is a scripture verse. All right. Well, I just pulled it down. This is from 2 Thessalonians out of the Message Bible. It says, you need to know, friends, that thanking God over and over for you is not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Why? It's only right that we give thanks. We're so proud of you. You're so steady and determined in your faith, despite all the hard times that have come down on you. We tell everyone we meet in the churches all about you. You know, the church people are going to know about our church by what you say. Well, where do you go? Well, We go there where you know it's, and you know, they're going to go, why would I ever want to go there? You know what? The joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Once you choose it, you can't lose it. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. When the valleys that I wander turn to mountains that I can climb, you are with me, never leave me. Oh, cause there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Oh, 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 oh. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel, because it's all you'll ever need. All you'll ever need. Clap your hands and stomp your feet because it's all you'll ever need. It's all you'll ever need. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
Yes, you are. You're the joy, my salvation. Yes, you are. You wake me up in the morning and you set my feet going. You're the joy, my salvation. Yes, you are. You fill me with your spirit.
Opens prison doors, sets the captives free.
to God. Oh, we praise the Lord. Give him a praise, church. Hallelujah, Lord. There's just, yes.
I got to give the Lord some praise. Two Sundays ago, Shirley asked about praying for specific things. And me and Jimmy stood right here. And I asked the Lord to move a certain person. I said, you're either changing or moving of this guy's life. Monday, she told me, she said, Mama, I told so-and-so, we just gonna be praying. Check one. Then, Mark had a situation. Check for praying about a situation. Anyway, had to involve a lawyer or whatever. We got a good report. I mean, a good report. So, check two. Then, Lane needed a job. We've been praying for weeks. He's done all these tests. Whatever online and do this, do that. Finally called. He starts tomorrow. Just a kid, no education. $16.80 an hour at Curtis and Lebanon. He starts tomorrow. Check three. Then I got to brag on my future son-in-law. We had, you know, our old ways takes some time to kill that flesh. You know, yesterday we had a situation. We could get mad. We did get mad. Told the neighbor what we thought. And then he come in the house. I said, Aunt, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. It didn't take a minute. He got up, he went over to this heathen and apologized. He said, I said stuff I shouldn't. I'm sorry for what I said. I just lost my temper, and I'm sorry. So what a good example of a new Christian and a good example new life that this heathen had a grown man. It takes a lot for a grown man to go over the fence to David and said, I'm sorry I behaved wrong 15 minutes ago. I guess this heathen's never had a grown man come and apologize to him for, you know, getting mad. But I'm so proud of it.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name. You are so amazing and we bless your name. You are so to worship and to bless your name more than anything.
Do that again. You ready? Do that again.
Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name. You're so amazing and we bless your name. Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name more than anything. You are amazing beyond compare, Lord Almighty, King of Kings. I will be praising you everywhere. You are faithful and to worship and to bless your name. You're so amazing and we bless your name. Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name more than anything. You are amazing beyond compare, never changing, always true. I will be praising you to worship and to bless your name. You're so amazing and we bless your name. Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name more than anything.
Say that to him, church. Say it again. You ready?
Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name. You're so amazing and we bless your name.
Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name more than anything. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Marvelous are you, excellent and true in everything you do. To worship and to bless your name. You are so amazing and we bless your name.
Come on, church.
Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name more than anything.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. Everything you do, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, glorious in power, faithful every hour, hallelujah, Lord, glorious in power, faithful every hour, hallelujah, Lord.
Church, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. We're going to take up the offering. God is so good, isn't he? You know, we're practicing or we're doing songs, and I just want you to know we're having fun. Aren't we having fun? We have fun. We laugh, we pray, and God is so good, but I want you to know that God is faithful, and he's doing creative miracles. He's brooding. How about that? The Spirit of God is brooding over our service this morning. Oh, thank you, Father God, you're getting ready to do some creation, and I thank you for meeting every need in this church as people give to you, Father God. I thank you for meeting the needs abundant and beyond, Father God, of what we need to pay the bills here. Lord God, there's some places you put on our hearts to give to out of the abundance. And Father God, you bring in the seed and we'll sow it. Amen. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to continue our worship. You know, I may have shared this, but after we went up for Crystal's going home celebration, they were praying for the Lord to bring their mama back. And this song, they kept playing over and over again. Well, we all know Crystal's still with Jesus. But you know, one day, the Bible says it, that believers are going to lay hands on people. And he's going to raise them from the dead. And I tell you what, we stopped expecting things. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But if it does, glory to God. Amen. Just get out there, pray for it. Well, what if I pray for them and they don't get healed? Well, that's not in your business. You just pray for them and let God take care of it. That's between them and God. You just give the word to them. You just pray for them. Glory to God. Church, we need a move of the Holy Spirit in this nation among Christians. If Christians will begin to just believe God and pray and expect God to do things, guess what? We're going to have revival. We're going to have revival. Glory to God.
Still being moved, strongholds are still being. Lord, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe, yes, we can see it. Wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We need a move. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it.
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is
says the Lord. Yeah, I am the creator. And I'm not moving just over this, but I'm moving over the nation. As people call out and cry out unto me, I'm brooding. I'm brooding for about what I'm getting, a church that I'm getting ready to create. A strong church, a powerful church that's going to stand against the darkness. Hallelujah, Lord.
Holy name of Jesus.
break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
And then in closing, you ready?
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
There's anyone listening, I just pray that there's been hope that's welled up on the inside of you, that you are free from anxiety. You are free from depression. You don't have to have that. You're free from anger and frustration. I speak that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.